Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back joining me as we're reaching the end of Holy Week. Well, we have a handful of days still in Holy Week, but we go Monday through Friday on this show. And so we're here on Holy Thursday. And through these first few days of the week, we've been building in anticipation as we've been walking with Jesus for what he's going to experience, for his betrayal, for his arrest, for the unfolding of the passion narrative, this high point in our year, the center of Christianity, the center of Catholicism is approaching, that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, has come to earth and he walked and talked on this earth, and then he starts his public ministry and he's betrayed and he's sold to the chief priests and he receives an improper punishment, but he takes on our sins, the sins of the world, and he's raised up and crucified on a cross, and in his death he defeats death forevermore and rises from the dead. What's unfolding over these next few days is the most important thing ever to happen on the face of the earth and the entirety of human history is Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And so we're entering into these very special 3 days. And the days that we've had have been very special and very holy, but we're entering into the life of the church in a very particular way. And so I want to encourage you to be prayerful, to be, yes, doing your responsibilities that you need to do, but as much as you can over the next 3 days, like, be off your phone. Be attentive to what the Lord is saying to you. Try to, like, one of the things for me is I've been trying not to do this week is, like, wasting time at night. Like, I usually do crossword puzzles on my phone or whatever it is, like, when I get into bed. But just really trying to be silent and reflective. And a lot of the ways that I imagine, you know, we see this played out in The Passion or in The Chosen or all these different movies and shows, is that when this Last Supper began, kind of everything begins to happen in, like, the cover of the night. There's so much that happens in the cover of the night. It's like the silence, the stillness while everybody is asleep. And so to really try to mimic that in our lives. And I know for some of you, you're like, that's impossible. I have children, all of this kind of stuff. But to try as much to have that inner disposition of silence and stillness and kind of walking with Jesus in the cover of the night, so to speak, to walk with him in this way. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read a little bit of the first reading. We have a second reading today because we have Holy Thursday Mass, and this is a big day. It's the establishment of the priesthood. It's the establishment of the Eucharist, and there's so much that we could talk about today, but it's very interesting with what we'll see, the reading that the church gives us. So we have kind of 3 readings to touch on today. So if you'll join me in prayer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we've walked with you, we've reached a point where you will enter into the Passover with your disciples. And through this time, you'll enter into the Passover, you'll enter into the Garden of Gethsemane there, and you'll go and you'll pray. And Lord, we ask you to just bring us with you, to allow us to join you there in this place, in your place of suffering, in your place of anticipation, in your place of pain. We ask you to take us into the Last Supper, and we ask that you would just really give us a clear conviction, a clear experience tonight as we go to Mass today, as we read this around what was happening in the establishment of your priesthood, the establishment of the Eucharist, that you would draw us in with great gratitude on what you have done. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and we're going to read. And I want to read some of the readings, and then I also want to take some time to reflect on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, because that's going to be a time really where tonight Jesus is going to be in the garden. He's going to be in the garden with his disciples where they're going to fall asleep, and he's going to be alone, and he's going to be suffering there and giving that suffering to his Father. So let's go ahead, and I want to just touch on the reading in Exodus, and I'm going to read a few things. Exodus 12:1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one, and shall share in the lamb, in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then with the whole assembly of Israel present it. It shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." There's more there, but essentially what we're seeing in Exodus 12 is God instructing Moses and Aaron to teach the whole of Israel how to keep the Passover. So the Israelites, they remember, they escaped from the Egyptians, and they were protected from the angel of death by what? The blood of the lamb on their doorpost. We see this. And so God is saying, make remembrance of this way that the blood of the lamb protected you, that the blood of the lamb saved you from death. Do the Passover every single year. You know, growing up, my mom was Jewish, and you know, she converted to Catholicism, but we still were 100% Jewish through the bloodline of our mother. So we celebrated all the Jewish holidays, and we celebrated a Jewish Passover every year. It's still very important to our family. And so we had this beautiful way of, we had Holy Thursday, and then we marked the Jewish Passover. And it's this beautiful fulfillment to say the blood on the doorpost, commemorate the blood on the doorpost. And then Jesus's blood on the cross is the fulfillment. He is the lamb who was slain, and the blood on the wood of the cross protects us and brings us to eternal life. It's beautiful. I want to just touch on the psalm, because the psalm is, our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. This blessing cup, the cup which we'll receive, the cup that Jesus talks about, the cup that he will drink on the cross, is the cup of wrath poured out. God's wrath is what Jesus drinks for us on the cross, and then we share in the communion with the blood of Christ. That's the covenant that he gives us. We see in 1 Corinthians 11, the reading that says, "This is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until it comes again." And so we're seeing, and we'll see this in the gospel, is this establishment of the Eucharist. And we see that in the first reading. This is the first Eucharist, the celebration of the Passover. These are the first Eucharists. And Jesus establishes, he's saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." You're entering. The Passover was the old covenant, and now you're entering into a new covenant. That lamb that you slaughtered is me. Drink of my blood, eat my body, and you're sharing in a new covenant with me, a covenant of intimacy where you are now part of my family. And we see now in John 13, I want to read this. It says, "Jesus, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to them, 'Master, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'What I am doing, you now do not understand, but you will understand later.' Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'Unless I wash you, you have no inheritance with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well.' And Jesus said to them, 'Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all.' For he knew who would betray him. So then when he had washed their feet, he put his garments back on and reclined at table. And he said to them, 'Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow so that as I have done for you, you should also do. Friends, Jesus is about to go to his death. This is the last time he will be together with all of his disciples before they run away, before he'll be crucified, before he'll be left on his own. And what does he do? He washes their feet. Jesus shows us in this how much he loves us. He says, I need to serve you. I need to wash you. I know that the Father has given everything to me. He's handed everything over to me. And what do? I serve you. He shows us. He shows us. He says, follow me, model me. I need to wash you. Why? So that you have an inheritance with me, that our inheritance comes when we allow ourselves to be served by Jesus. And Jesus will do the ultimate action of service. He'll die for us on the cross. He'll die for us. This is an action of service. And what I want to touch on briefly before we end today, Jesus, and on this night, and we show this in the churches. We go to Holy Thursday Mass and then altars are left open, altars of repose to symbolize being in the garden with Jesus. And I've done this before where you go on a little pilgrimage to different altars and you spend this time in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. And Pope Benedict, he had so many beautiful, beautiful reflections on this of Jesus being in the garden and he's there. And I love this. And Jesus, he says, in Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Olives, the natural human will of Jesus shrinks from the horror of suffering and death. Yet it is taken up into the yes of the Son to the Father's will. In this way, the drama of our redemption is enacted. Jesus draws our natural human will away from opposition and into cooperation with the divine will. He says this, the abyss of evil that he must drink into himself is laid bare before him. Yet he accepts the Father's will and thus transforms suffering into redemption. Jesus is there in the garden and the abyss of evil that he must drink is laid before him. Jesus is the only human person ever to experience the fullness of despair. We experience suffering, we experience death, we experiencing despair, still an idea of despair, still with the hope of resurrection. Jesus was experiencing despair without the hope of the saving of God, without the hope of his death and resurrection before him. And so Jesus carries in the garden the fullness of human despair. The abyss of evil was laid out before him. That's why he was sweating blood. And friends, we're there with him. And we want to enter into this, the whole history of evil, from every murder, from every horrible, horrific thing, every crime, every rape, every terrible, the worst thing you could possibly imagine, all the horrible sins down to gossip and shame and all these different things, they're weighing on him. He's feeling the shame and the condemnation of them all. Why? So you don't have to experience condemnation. He experiences condemnation in the garden, the wrath of the Father. This is the cup that he must drink. The psalm says the cup of wrath that Jesus drinks down to the dregs. He drinks it so you don't have to drink it. This is what Jesus experiences. And Jesus, show us just an ounce what you experience in the garden. Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up our week in Good Friday. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.